Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Isn't Jesus wonderful?
Yes.
You may be seated. You know, the question that a lot of people are asking, you know, is Jesus really alive? Well, today we celebrate that he is alive. You know, the way you answer a question such as that is by the witnesses. Witnesses either confirm something is the truth or it's not the truth. Is that not correct? So, the scripture declares that Christ has risen from the grave. You know, all the gospels declare that he rose from the grave. We'll just read from Matthew 28. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, his clothes was as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He's not here. He's risen." He said, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he's going before you into Galilee. You will see him. Behold, I've told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring the word to the disciples. This is also found in Mark 16, 1 through 7, Luke 24, 1 through 7, and John 20, 1 through 17. All four of the gospel writers declare that they saw that Jesus was risen from the dead. You know, in this account, they saw the empty tomb, and as you read on, you find out that Mary Magdalene that stayed there at the tomb for a bit, Jesus came and talked to her personally and told her, "Don't touch me, I haven't ascended to the Father yet." Now, all the other gods of religions are dead. Their tombs are full, and Christ's tomb is empty. You know, these are eyewitnesses accounts. In a court of law, the eyewitness carries the most weight. Not what somebody thinks they saw, not what they think about something, what they actually saw. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8. See, I'm building a case here of that is that Jesus is alive. "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which you also received in which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. And he was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the scripture. And that he was seen by Cephas and by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James and then all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as one aborned out of due time." This is the Apostle Paul talking there after he had had an encounter with Christ. He clearly says that Cephas saw him, which is Peter, the 12 disciples, over 500 other people saw him. James, the brother of Jesus, also wrote the book of James. He is a witness there. All 12 of the apostles witnessed that he rose from the dead. And then Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 15, 17, "And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins." In essence, to not believe in the resurrection of Christ would cause a bigger problem. Now, Jesus himself declared he was dead, but now he's alive forevermore. in Revelation 1:18, as he here has appeared to the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, and he says, "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, amen, and I have the keys of Hades and death." Here Jesus acknowledged that he was dead, but he states that he rose and came back to life and forevermore. Now, Jesus was a prototype of all of us, for us believers. He arose to a new life. After you accept Christ as your personal Savior, you arose to a new life. In fact, if you've been baptized in water, it's an outward symbol of something that's already taken place in your heart. You go under the water, you're buried with Christ, you're raised out of the water, you're raised with Christ. You know, all of us have inherited that eternal life through Jesus Christ being raised from the dead. The important part of our Christian belief is not the crucifixion, not the birth, but the important part is that he rose from the dead. That's what all Christianity is based on. Now, as the apostles were preaching after the day of Pentecost, here it says that in Acts 4, "Now as they spoke to the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, and being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrected from the dead." And then in Acts 4:33, "And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord, and the grace was upon them all." Then in Acts 17:18, "Then the Epicureans and the Stoics, philosophers, encountered him," this Paul, "and some said, 'What does this babbler want to say?' Others said, 'He seems to be proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection.'" In these verses, we see that the apostles focused on the resurrection. You see, they preach his Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and all of that is part of the redemptive work of Christ. Without the resurrection, the rest of it would be futile. The resurrection. He is alive. He is alive and well today. We build our case on the fact that he lives. He was dead, but now he's alive. He arose from the dead. The real hope of mankind is found in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, other witnesses say this. Now, you know, there's a song that we used to sing. It's called "Christ Arose." Now, it's a hard song to sing, but part of it goes, "Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose." And probably many of you remember that particular song. And then we already sang it this morning. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Hallelujah. You know, now we go to historians. And H.G. Wells wrote, "I'm not a historian, I'm not a believer, but I must confess as a historian that the penniless preacher of Nazareth is irrevocable, the very center of history. Jesus Christ is easily the most dominant figure in all of history." And then another historian wrote, "All as centuries pass, the evidence is accumulating that measured by the effect on history, Jesus is the most influential life that ever lived on this planet." Many others wrote different things about Jesus. You know, we go to the Bible, then we go to other writers, other people that wrote. In fact, if you've ever looked at the big book, it's about that thick in real small print, the works of Flavius Josephus. He mentions that there was a man by the name of Jesus that lived and rose from the dead. He mentions it in there. as a verified fact. Now, listen to this that was written by James C. Heffley. Here is a man who was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30, and then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held office. He never owned a home. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never put his foot inside of a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He never did the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He had nothing to do with this world except the naked power of his divine manhood. While still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. He was turned over to the enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. His executors gambled for the only piece of property he had on earth while living on earth. And that was his coat. When he was dead, he was taken down and laid in a barred grave through the pity of a friend. Such was his human life. He rises from the dead. Then he goes on to say, 19 centuries have come and gone, and today he's the centerpiece of the human race. I'm within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched, and all the navies that were ever built, and all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man upon the earth as powerfully as that one solitary life, meaning Jesus Christ. Buddha never claimed to be God. Muhammad never claimed to be Allah. Yet Jesus Christ claimed to be the true and living God. Buddha simply said, "I'm a teacher in search of truth." Jesus said, "I am the truth." Muhammad said, "Unless God throws his cloak of mercy on me, I have no hope." Jesus said, "Unless you believe in me, you will die in your sin." A man was merely a man that said these things. Jesus would not even be considered a great moral teacher. He would be considered a lunatic on the level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. That's what C.S. Lewis had to say. Today, you can either declare that Christ is risen from the dead, or you can sit as a skeptic and look at all of the evidence that points to the resurrection of Christ and die in your sin. But the greatest testimony that ever can be given of the resurrected Christ is the testimony of every believer that has ever accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Has believing in Christ's resurrection made a difference in your life?
Yes.
Is Christ really alive in your heart today?
Yes.
That's the greatest witness there is. You yourself, believing that Christ rose from the grave, is the center of our salvation. 1 Corinthians 15 says, if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sin. Thank God he arose victorious. You know, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Amen.
We got to believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And we got to say with our mouth, we believe that he was rose from the dead. You know, today, I've simply and quickly given you some evidence, biblical evidence, historical evidence, and writers from the present hour. This evidence points really that Jesus is alive. This evidence says that Jesus is alive. You sitting here and saying a minute ago that Jesus lived in your heart is evidence that Jesus is alive. The evidence was that he came, he lived, and he died. And his grave is empty. You can go to the tomb of Confucius. You can go to the tomb of Buddha. You can go to the tomb of Muhammad. But I'm going to tell you what, they're still sealed with the bones inside. But you can make a trip to the city of Jerusalem. And you can walk to the Garden of Gethsemane. And then you, where he prayed. And then you can walk to the hill called Mount Calvary, Golgotha. And right below that hill of Golgotha stands a little garden. And in that garden is a tomb. I was just in it this past June. And it is empty. Jesus is alive and well. He has risen from the dead. And it's evident by all of you that are here to worship him today. Because he rose from the dead, you have what you have. But if you happen to be in our midst today, and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is your day to confess that he has risen from the dead and become your personal Savior. This is your time. Today is your day to rededicate your life to God if you need to. Today is your day to accept Jesus Christ. If you're like a lot of people that one man I met not very long ago, he said, I've gone to church ever since I can remember as a little boy. And I am now an old adult. And I don't know if I've ever accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Do you understand that there are many people that go to church, but you have to, with your own mouth, say, I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus rose from the dead. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you happen to be in this room today and you need to accept Jesus for the first time, you need to rededicate your life. You need to have what I call a no-so experience with God. You've been going to church, but you don't know whether you've ever accepted Jesus or not. If you're in this room, this is your chance to change your life forever, just like all of these other believers have said today. Let me see your hand now. Anywhere in this room, anybody anywhere in this room. There's a hand over here. Thank you. Is there another hand? Thank you. You may put it down. Thank you. I see that. Other hands up in the balcony. Ushers, help me. And there's a hand over here. Thank you. Any more? Hey, this is your time. This is your time to change. Don't sit there and wonder about it. He has risen from the dead. He is the Lord God that will change your life and make your life anew by witness by all of these people sitting around you. This is your hour. This is your day. He lives today, and because he lives, you can live also. Hallelujah to Jesus. Everybody stand, please. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I'm going to go right down here to the front. I want to shake hands with you and pray with you. If you raised your hand for salvation, rededication, and declaring that no sort of experience with God, come on now. Step out and come on. You don't want to come by yourself. Ask somebody. They'll walk with you. Come on right now. If you raised your hand, come on right here. Come on right here. Here comes a young man. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Bless you, Tank. Stand with him, Dad. You're never too young. You're never too old. Come on. If you're in the balcony, you want to come. The ushers will get you down here. Come on. Come on right now. Right here. Stand right here. God bless you. Hallelujah. God bless you. Come on. This is your time. This is your time. Come on now. Come on now. I'm waiting for you. Come on. Oh, God bless you. Stand right with her. You brought her. Hallelujah. Come on now. This is your time. This is your hour. This is your day. Change your life forever. Glory to God. Come on now. Come on now. Hallelujah to Jesus. Come right on. Hallelujah to Jesus. Right here, young man. Like I said, you're never too old. Hallelujah. God bless you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anybody else coming? Come on now. Come on now. Come on. Who wants to join these seven that are here? Come on now. This is your chance to declare by walking this aisle, I believe he rose from the dead. This is your chance. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, all of you that are standing here, look in my direction. I got two books in my hand. One called New Birth, talking about salvation. The other one, In Him, talking about who you are in Christ. If I put them out there like that, I said, I'm going to give them to you how you get them. They're yours. You got them. Now, every one of y'all going to get them same books in just a minute. That's just an exercise I do. I can give you a book, but I can't give you the spiritual thing you came to receive. It comes from heaven on high. And just as both of them reach their hands out for those books, I want you to, you that are standing here, reach one hand toward heaven like this. And with that hand, you're saying, I'm reaching up to get what I came down. You in the congregation, you reach your hands toward them as I pray, you pray for them. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every one of these that have come today. I thank you that every spiritual life in their lives will be met today. Every need met. Salvation, rededication, no soul experience with you. Blessed and filling the Holy Spirit. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, I want you to go to a place where you can get those books. And that you can be prayed with individually in depth. That's Greg right over there. He's going to take you there. Now, for you adults, that same room on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock becomes a classroom called Turning Point. You say, what in the world is that? Well, it's just a few classes that you go to that helps you get your life turned on to God or back on to God. That's all it is. I'd like to see you in those classes next Sunday morning. Would you turn and just follow Greg to that places, those places right now? If you brought somebody, you go with them. All right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Glory to God. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. I mean, I could have gone into a whole lot more witnesses, but I think I did enough. Amen. Because all of you sitting here or standing here, you witnessed with your being here today that you know that he arose from the dead. Amen and amen, amen. Hey, connection team, go find our first time guests and take them to that place to get a gift. Staff, go to the door so we can shake hands with the people. Y'all can go right now. Hey, we had 1,821 online watching us at our e-church out there. Hey guys, glad you were with us today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for coming. I wish I could get all of y'all here every Sunday morning. But things happen. Praise the Lord. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Remember tonight, 6 o'clock right here. Come believing, come expecting. Wednesday night, be here, hour of power from 7 to 8. And then next Sunday morning, I'll be right here to minister to you next Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. Nobody move unless you have to. We're going to sing a song to dismiss you. I got to get to that west door. That's where I'm going. You know, all the others are up there. If you want to see any of the pastors, that's the doors we're at. And if the kids want their lollipop suckers that I give them, you got to come to the west door, okay? All right, let's sing, Rich.
Oh, hero.